welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of On This Day in Tudor History. Now, today's talk is based on an article that I actually wrote for the Anne Boleyn Files website that I run. I wrote it a few years ago, and I wrote it on Queen Anne Boleyn and reformer William Tyndale and the sort of the link between the two of them. On this day in Tudor history, the 2nd of October 1528, so the reign of King Henry VIII, reformer and Bible translator William Tyndale's book, The Obedience of a Christian Man and How Christian Rulers Ought to Govern, wherein also, if thou mark diligently, thou shalt find eyes to perceive the crafty convenience of all jugglers, which is more commonly known as The Obedience of a Christian Man. We do like to shorten these very long Tudor titles. That was published in Antwerp. So on this day in Tudor history, in 1528, that book, The Obedience of a Christian Man, was published in Antwerp. Now, this book was a very important book in the story of Anne Boleyn and King Henry VIII, because it is thought that it was this book that helped King Henry VIII realise that rulers were only accountable to God and not to the Pope. That, you know, that rulers were on a par with the Pope and could go directly to God and didn't have to go through the Pope. 17th century historian John Stripe and also George Wyatt, grandson of poet and diplomat Thomas Wyatt the Elder, tell the same story about how this heretical book found its way into the hands of King Henry VIII and, you know, may have been a catalyst for the English Reformation. According to both those sources, Stripe and Wyatt, in around 1529, Anne Boleyn lent Tyndale's book to Anne Gainsford, who was one of her ladies. Now, Anne Gainsford was involved with a man, George Zouche, and he plucked it from his sweetheart, and he was reading it, and it was noticed, and it got confiscated from him as a heretical book by Dr. Richard Sampson, Dean of the Chapel Royal, who saw George reading it in the chapel. Now, Sampson, along with other clergymen, had been commanded by Cardinal Thomas Wolsey to keep an eye out for heretical books. So he took this book that he'd found George reading straight to Cardinal Wolsey. In the meantime, while all this was going on, Anne Boleyn had asked her lady if she could have the book back. And of course, Anne Gainsford was distraught, because she couldn't give the book back to her mistress, so she told her what had happened. Anne wasn't angry or upset. She simply commented, "Well, it shall be the dearest book that ever the dean or cardinal took away." Anne Boleyn then went to her sweetheart, the king, and the bells are ringing out for Anne doing that, to ask him to intervene with Cardinal Wolsey to get the book returned. When the book was returned to her, Anne Boleyn took it to the king and besought his grace most tenderly to read it. And Wyatt writes of how Anne had marked matters worthy of the king's knowledge with her fingernail. And John Stripe describes how the king was delighted with the book and remarked that this book is for me and all kings to read. Stripe goes on to say, "And in a little time, the king, by the help of this virtuous lady, by the means aforesaid, had his eyes opened to the truth, to search the truth, to advance God's religion and glory, to abhor the Pope's doctrine, his lies, his pomp and pride, to deliver his subjects out of the Egyptian darkness, the Babylonian bonds that the Pope had brought him and his subjects under, and so condemning the threats of all the world, the power of princes, rebellions of his subjects at home, and the raging of so many and mighty potentates abroad, set forward a reformation in religion, beginning with the triple-crowned head at first, and so came down to the members, bishops, abbots, priors, and such like." Tyndall's obedience of a Christian man was instrumental in helping Henry VIII see how he could have his marriage to Catherine of Aragon annulled, while also limiting the power of the papacy in England. The steps that Henry took as a result of reading this book really did spark off the English Reformation. Even though Henry wouldn't have seen it that way, he died a Catholic. He certainly wasn't what we call Protestant. However, Tyndall's message regarding how God has appointed the kings, princes, and other secular leaders as his representatives on earth, and kings therefore being the highest authority in the land, and his challenge of the Pope's temporal authority over king and emperor, was just one small part of the book. Other subjects included the supremacy of God's word over everything else, the importance of God's word being made available to the laity in English, the importance of teaching scripture rather than focusing on ecclesiastical law, and instructions for how to live and what obedience means in daily life, and the abuses of the church. Now, although Tyndall's book was so helpful to King Henry VIII in The Great Matter, Tyndall ended up being executed as a heretic in October 1536, after incurring the wrath of that same king, Henry VIII, with the publication of another book, The Practice of Prelates, in which he opposed Henry VIII's planned annulment from Catherine of Aragon. So one of his books helped the king, and another was Tyndall's undoing. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it, and don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.